fill fire a year or two.
So it's actually underground? The trash is burning underneath? Is that what happens?
Yeah, it generates heat. Costs.
Yeah, because it's all decomposing. Yeah,
if oxygen gets in there.
Yeah, it depends on what you throw in there, too.
Well, how do you put that out? You just let it burn?
It's really
open
tough.
Open it up, pick the whole thing up.
You put in pipes and let the gas come out, and then you burn it at the end.
You can.
I'm kind of wondering, how does that look? I mean, you just start to see the ground smoking? Is that what happens?
You'll see the smoke. I mean, it'll be big, black, billowy.
Coming right out of the ground.
And they take the equipment out there, the bulldozers, and they just open it up.
Next time that happens, I like to maybe sell tickets and go out there and check this out.
Yeah, the fire people come out, don't they? Soak it with water, just bump water into the hole.
Was there any real danger to that spreading or coming out? Is that why they deal with it?
Big fines.
Big fines.
Atmospheric pollution.
Yeah. All right, so we get started here.
Okay, I'd like to go ahead and call to order the Carson City Audit Committee. First of all, I'd like to take roll call.
Chairperson Bertrand.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Prowse.
Here.
Member Brown.
Here.
Member McKenna.
Here.
Member Parvin.
Here.
Quorum is present.
Okay, first of all, public comment discussion. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is relevant to or within the authority of the Carson City Audit Committee. In order for members of the public to participate in the committee's consideration of an agenda item, the committee strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an agenda item during the item itself. No action may be taken on a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included on the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. I guess at this time we can call for any public comment. Welcome, public. Item number four. Approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of November 29th, 2011?
I move that we approve the minutes of November 29th, 2011.
I'll second.
Okay, move second. The minutes of November 29th, 2011 are accepted. Oh, see, we got to vote on that, don't we?
Yes.
Forget that vote. Okay. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the minutes have been adopted and approved. Item number five, for adoption of the agenda. Is there a motion to adopt the agenda?
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the agenda.
Let's turn our microphones on, shall we?
I'd like to make a motion to adopt the agenda.
And I will second the motion.
Okay. Okay, all those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Okay, motion carries. The agenda is adopted as it is. Item number six on the agenda. I'll just read this and we'll go from there. To direct staff to start the request for statement of qualifications process for the appointment of the independent auditors to be engaged by the Board of Supervisors for external reporting and recommend to the Board of Supervisors the related audit fees. I guess what we need to do is discuss, I guess, just basically direct the staff. Is there a motion to direct the staff to go ahead and get out an SOQ for the external auditors?
I move that we request the staff to issue a statement of qualifications.
Susan? Your mic is not on.
Oh, I'm sorry. First, do we have any comment or questions on this issue?
Public should be allowed to comment.
Public can be allowed to comment on that?
Sure. Public has to be allowed to comment before we put a motion in place.
Okay.
The other thing is you might want to, on your agenda item here, it says recommended board action. We just usually read those word for word. That way it covers all the bases.
Are you talking about the staff summary underneath? Or?
It says recommended board action. I move to direct staff to start a request for statement of qualifications.
Okay. I did read that.
There's a second, not on the agenda, but on the sheet of paper that goes for the item.
Oh, okay. You know, let's see.
Here, this is
you have, because I didn't pick up another.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I believe what he's saying is just the maker of the motion basically would just read the recommended board action per the agenda report as it's written. So basically he would say, I move to direct staff, just read that. That would be his motion. That's what we recommend the motion to be.
Yeah, we're recommending the motion to be what we...
Let's on the recommended board action. Right.
We need some discussion.
Okay. First, all right, before... Okay, before we make the motion, is there any public discussion regarding... Okay. The public has said, has acknowledged no.
I got some questions before we get going on. Given as it's March 31st before we have to appoint an external auditor, is there enough time to get a different external auditor?
I believe so. I believe if we put the SRQ out on the street, we're planning on doing that in the next day or two, and then we'll give them probably till the beginning of February, and then we can evaluate. It won't take us very long to evaluate the proposals, and then we can actually come back here probably your first meeting in February. And make a recommendation, and then, you know, we can kind of take a look at the proposals that we get, and then we can go ahead and go to the board, you know, at the end of March. So,
does staff have any reason to want to change external auditors based upon prior work? Is there any? Just talk to us about why. We want to change external auditors. Why we want other people to bid on it?
Well, I don't necessarily, you know, want to change external auditors. I just think, you know, every 5 or 6 years, it's probably a good idea to go out and bid just to have them sharpen their pencils a little bit and maybe come back with, you know, with some better quotes and things like that. It's always good to let them have a little, you know, think that there's a little competition out there. And, you know, I just hate having them raise their fee 5 or 10% every year just because. So,
and then are we incurring any costs by changing the auditors, given that these auditors have processes, procedures, and forms in place, and any new auditor would have to recreate the wheel?
Well, I don't think that. I mean, that would be up upon behoove them. I believe. I mean, based on what their bid would be to get the job, so it probably. I mean, it's going to be work for us no matter what we do, and theoretically, it's, you know, it's going to be similar work. They might have a little bit more, you know, prep work during the internal control issues and things like that. So it might be a little bit more, but we'd have to evaluate it based on the proposals and, you know, the costs and weigh that out. I don't think we want to just go ahead and appoint an auditor just based solely on the cost. I mean, if Kafoor Armstrong was maybe a little bit higher, it might be worth it to keep them just because of that, if there would be a lot of extra work on our part. But I think we can kind of evaluate that.
Could you also acquaint the committee with the discussion that was had when the auditors presented the report as to your staffing and that sort of thing with how your department is or could be growing if all the requirements are put in place and that sort of thing?
Right. I don't see that really happening, you know, in the near future. You know, based on what they say, you know, we have a pretty good staff right now. So, you know, I've got 3 CPAs in the office, and they're actually, 2 of them have actually worked at Kafoor Armstrong on our audit in the past. So they're really familiar with their work, and they're familiar with, you know, the city's work and stuff. So, I mean, we have a really good relationship with Kafoor Armstrong, and you know, if you prefer that we didn't, you know, do an SOQ, that would be fine with me too. I just, you know, it's been 5 or 6 years, and you know, I think Larry kind of likes to have a, you know, this process, you know, every so often. So they've been the auditors for the city ever since I've been there. So I mean, they've probably had the job for 20 plus years, I imagine. So they're really familiar with the city. So,
if I could comment, It seems like Kafoor Armstrong does a good job and pretty cost efficiently. However, I think especially the way private sector is going with the rationale of changing external auditors periodically certainly would justify at least an SOQ to see who else out there might be interested in providing the services. And as you say, let Kafuri know that even though, you know, the city appreciates their work and thinks they do a good job, they are not guaranteed the contract indefinitely. So it certainly doesn't seem to hurt to test the waters and evaluate what relative costs there may be. Thank you. That's my comment.
When you put out this SOQ, is it typically for a 1 year or is it for 3 years?
I think what we're planning on doing will be a 3-year contract. I think that's what we're planning on doing.
So if there was a changeover with somebody else, if there's a lot of cost, to answer what John's concern was, the first year getting set up, they can kind of sort of spread that over several years. So it'll be a 3-year if we did make a change.
I'm not worried about the cost of the auditor's part of it. I'm worried about the cost of the city. Because what happens when a new auditor comes in, they dump a lot of their work onto the staff that's existing. And there's a lot of just ancillary work of things that the auditor doesn't know because they haven't been here before that's not in their price. But Nick's staff has to come up with and show them where they're wrong, where they're right, recreate Excel spreadsheets, da-da-da-da-da-da. It costs money to change auditors, and I just want to make sure that in a year when we're in years when we don't have a lot of fund balances, is that a good year to change versus a year when the fund balance is adequate to cover the thing? It's up to you guys. I really don't have a dog in this hunt. It's just a matter of it's a good time to be frugal. I'll put it that way.
I mean, I certainly can, you know, talk with Kafuri Armstrong and negotiate with them if that's the request. I don't have a problem with that either. Either way, again, we don't have a problem with Kafuri Armstrong's work. I mean, we have a really good relationship with them, and I mean, there's always a learning curve, you know, with auditors because you know they have a lot of change, and they typically, you know, the folks with lesser experience kind of do the grunt field work, and you know we're training the Kafuri folks as well. So I mean that seems to happen as well. But again, I don't have any problem trying to negotiate, you know, a deal with Kafuri Armstrong if that's what you'd like me to do.
You had indicated though, and I would presume under the SOQ we could possibly take into consideration the fact that potential additional costs that the city might incur by running obtaining a separate auditor. You'd mentioned something along that line a few minutes ago. That in essence, by hiring somebody else, you didn't think it would be that significant, and that you know the costs could be adjusted. I'm trying to paraphrase.
Yeah, we would just have to see. I mean, typically, you know, we spend probably, you know, August and September getting ready for the audit, and then, you know, we typically spend 5 or 6 weeks just, you know, kind of geared toward, you know, helping the auditors. That's pretty much what, you know, 2 or 3 of my staff do, you know, pretty much 8 hours a day. So, I mean, it might be a little extra work, but I don't know that it would be significantly more. And we just have to see what the actual bids come in and, you know, if it would be worth it. I suspect that it probably won't be worth it and that Kafuri would probably get the bid, but you know, maybe they'll come in a little bit less, and you know, so it's hard to speculate.
Okay, if there's no other discussion on it, is there any public comment this time? With that, is there a motion to go ahead and direct staff to start the request for the statement of qualifications process for the appointment of the independent auditors to be engaged by the Board of Supervisors for external reporting and recommend to the Board of Supervisors and the related audit fees?
I so move.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Okay, item number 7, to approve Chairman Bertrand's recommendation for contract award to Moss Adams LLP for the Carson City 2011 internal audit function and authorize staff to prepare a contract and board action form for Board of Supervisors approval. I did not get anything in writing.
That even though, you know, the city appreciates their work and thinks they do a good job, they are not guaranteed the contract indefinitely. So it certainly doesn't seem to hurt to test the waters and evaluate what relative costs there may be. Thank you. That's my comment.
When you put out this SOQ, is it typically for a 1 year or is it for 3 years?
I think what we're planning on doing will be a 3-year contract. I think that's what we're planning on doing.
So if there was a changeover with somebody else, if there's a lot of cost, to answer what John's concern was, the first year getting set up, they can kind of sort of spread that over several years. So it'll be a 3-year if we did make a change.
I'm not worried about the cost of the auditor's part of it. I'm worried about the cost of the city. Because what happens when a new auditor comes in, they dump a lot of their work onto the staff that's existing. And there's a lot of just ancillary work of things that the auditor doesn't know because they haven't been here before, that's not in their price, but NICS staff has to come up with and show them where they're wrong, where they're right, recreate Excel spreadsheets, da-da-da-da-da-da. It costs money to change auditors, and I just want to make sure that in a year when we're in years when we don't have a lot of fund balances, is that a good year to change versus a year when the fund balance is adequate to cover the thing? It's up to you guys. I really don't have a dog in this hunt. It's just a matter of it's a good time to be frugal. I'll put it that way.
I mean, I certainly can, you know, talk with Kefauver Armstrong and negotiate with them if that's the request. I don't have a problem with that either. Either way, again, we don't have a problem with Kefauver Armstrong's work. I mean, we have a really good relationship with them, and I mean, there's always a learning curve, you know, with auditors because you know they have a lot of change, and they typically, you know, the folks with lesser experience kind of do the grunt field work, and you know we're training the Kefauver folks as well. So I mean, that seems to happen as well. But again, I don't have any problem trying to negotiate, you know, a deal with Kefauver Armstrong if that's what you'd like me to do.
You had indicated though, and I would presume under the SOQ, we could possibly take into consideration the fact that potential additional costs that the city might incur by running obtaining a separate auditor. You'd mentioned something along that line a few minutes ago. That in essence, by hiring somebody else, you didn't think it would be that significant, and that you know the cost could be adjusted. I'm trying to paraphrase.
Yeah, we would just have to see. I mean, typically, you know, we spend probably, you know, August and September getting ready for the audit, and then you know we typically spend 5 or 6 weeks just you know kind of geared toward, you know, helping the auditors. That's pretty much what, you know, 2 or 3 of my staff do, you know, pretty much 8 hours a day. So, I mean, it might be a little extra work, but I don't know that it would be significantly more. And we just have to see what the actual bids come in and, you know, if it would be worth it. I suspect that it probably won't be worth it and that Kefauver would probably get the bid. But, you know, maybe they'll come in a little bit less and, you know, so it's hard to speculate.
Okay, if there's no other discussion on it, is there any public comment at this time? With that, is there a motion to go ahead and direct staff to start the request for the statement of qualifications process for the appointment of the independent auditors to be engaged by the Board of Supervisors for external reporting and recommend to the Board of Supervisors and the related audit fees?
I so move. I so move.
I'll second.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Okay. Item number 7. To approve Chairman Bertrand's recommendation for contract award to Moss Adams, LLP, for the Carson City 2011 internal audit function and authorize staff to prepare a contract and board action form for Board of Supervisors approval. I did not get anything in writing until this morning, so I'm not really here to make a recommendation at this point for the proposal because I really didn't have it until recently, and I talked to Tom over there at Moss Adams just a couple hours ago because I had a couple of questions on it, and I'd just like to just kind of air those out to the community and see if anybody else had any kind of questions and concerns before we move forward. One of the things that I was taking a look at is in the they provided, which I think you all have a copy of, the internal audit risk assessment. They're going to put together an audit risk assessment, and they gave a budget of about $35,000 just to kind of analyze and determine where the potential problems or the best places to go in there and audit and take a look at for performance. When I looked at that, though, it occurred to me that that's really coming out at they budgeted 200 hours for that risk assessment. And that comes out at an average of $175 an hour. If they kept at that rate through the entire project, that would read out to them providing us 628 hours. One of the things in our SOQ requested was that it's required that the consultant must be available to devote an average of 25 hours per week over the contract period. So I talked with Tom a little bit about that and said if they could, you know, how they could work around that with their fees or anything. And he said that they really couldn't get it down to that level. However, he'd be willing to try to adjust, you know, how much they're using for risk assessment or try to work with us in other ways. And he kind of like brought up the fact that they're trying to put this together based on the deliverables, what's coming out the end, not so much as putting in time like a normal internal auditor. So I thought I would just bring that up because I think the committee decided in the past to put the SOQ in if we want to, I guess, make a change there or not. Any comment?
The one comment I had just looking at this is I didn't see any reference to travel costs in their estimate, which could be substantial. Was there any discussion relating to that?
No, I didn't discuss that, and I can talk with him about that. I can follow him up with a call and just ask if that's budgeted in with that or if that's part of that rate.
Nick, what's on the agenda for the supervisors next week? There's an item on there.
I believe it's to approve the actual Moss Adams contract.
So for right now, we have no contract with anybody to do internal audit?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we were going to have you folks basically approve this before we take it to the board and actually have the Board of Supervisors approve Moss Adams' contract.
And it's my understanding at this point, we do not have a written draft contract from Moss Adams.
Yes, we do. There's a sample draft contract attached with the board action form. And right now, Moss Adams is reviewing that contract. It's basically the purchasing contract standard contract for professional services for an independent contractor. For the Board of Supervisors, correct.
Oh, so relative to the Audit Committee's input to that contract, when would that occur?
I think basically the contract that we're taking to the Board of Supervisors is our standard city contract that just requires them to have certain amounts of insurance and, you know, just basically the standard things. I think your input would basically be on the scope of work that they would do on that contract, and that's kind of what we're discussing now. I think what we're planning on having the board approve is a task-based contract, and what that means is that we'll have specific tasks that Moss Adams will do, and I believe you'll probably approve those before the board will get them. And I think the first task is to do the risk assessment. That's all that we have going to the board saying, basically, we're going to approve a task-based contract. I think the total of that cost is $100.
This morning, so I'm not really here to make a recommendation at this point for the proposal because I really didn't have it until recently, and I talked to Tom over there at Moss Adams just a couple hours ago because I had a couple of questions on it, and I'd just like to just kind of air those out to the community and see if anybody else had any kind of questions and concerns before we move forward. One of the things that I was taking a look at is in the they provided, which I think you all have a copy of, the internal audit risk assessment. They're going to put together an audit risk assessment, and they gave a budget about $35,000 just to kind of analyze and determine where the potential problems or the best places to go in there and audit and take a look at for performance. When I looked at that, though, it occurred to me that that's really coming out at they budgeted 200 hours for that risk assessment, and that comes out at an average of $175 an hour. If they kept at that rate through the entire project, that would read out to them providing us 628 hours. One of the things in our SOQ requested was that it's required that the consultant must be available to devote an average of 25 hours per week over the contract period. So I talked with Tom a little bit about that and said if they could, you know, how they could work around that with their fees or anything. And he said that they really couldn't get it down to that level. However, he'd be willing to try to adjust, you know, how much they're using for risk assessment or try to work with us in other ways. And he kind of like brought up the fact that they're trying to put this together based on the deliverables, what's coming out the end, not so much as putting in time like a normal internal auditor. So I thought I would just bring that up because I think the committee decided in the past to put the SOQ in if we want to, I guess, make a change there or not. Any comment?
The one comment I had just looking at this is I didn't see any reference to travel costs in their estimate, which could be substantial. Was there any discussion relating to that?
No, I didn't discuss that, and I can talk with him about that. I can follow him up with a call and just ask if that's budgeted in with that or if that's part of that rate.
Nick, what's on the agenda for the supervisors next week? There's an item on there.
I believe it's to approve the actual Moss Adams contract.
So for right now, we have no contract with anybody to do internal audit?
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah, we were going to have you folks basically approve this before we take it to the board and actually have the Board of Supervisors approve Moss Adams' contract.
And it's my understanding at this point, we do not have a written draft contract from Moss Adams.
Yes, we do. There's a sample draft contract attached with the board action form. And right now, Moss Adams is reviewing that contract. It's basically the purchasing contract standard contract for professional services for an independent contractor. For the Board of Supervisors, correct.
Oh, so relative to the Audit Committee's input to that contract, when would that occur?
I think basically the contract that we're taking to the Board of Supervisors is our standard city contract that just requires them to have certain amounts of insurance and, you know, just basically the standard things. I think your input would basically be on the scope of work that they would do on that contract, and that's kind of what we're discussing now. I think what we're planning on having the board approve is a task-based contract, and what that means is that we'll have specific tasks that Moss Adams will do, and I believe you'll probably approve those before the board will get them, And I think the first task is to do the risk assessment. That's all that we have going to the board saying, basically, we're going to approve a task-based contract. I think the total of that cost is $110,000 per the budget. And the first task is going to be to prepare the risk assessment based on Moss Adams's, you know, project scope that they have attached. Once that is finished and then, you know, they have tasks that they propose to do, then we'll bring them to you and you can approve the task, and then we'll take that to the board to get the board to approve it, and then they can go ahead and perform that task. I think that's kind of the process that we plan on going
through. Right. It is like an on-call basis contract, and it's all task-based. The first, like Nick said, the first task is the risk assessment, and that's stated clearly in the contract and also in the board action form that it's $35,000 for the risk assessment, and that the remainder of the contract task would be determined later.
And so who then would determine whether the work they performed met reasonable standards?
We would provide that information to the audit committee for them to review their work, correct?
That's the plan.
Yeah.
That's what we have planned.
But in essence, they would depend on the contract itself as to whether, it sounds like basically if we approve the project scope, that would be appended to the contract.
Right. It is attached as a part of the contract, the scope of work. The risk assessment is a part of the contract.
Okay. So is there any provision in the contract to accept or reject the product? Or are we, in essence, agreeing to accept whatever product they provide?
There are termination clauses, and there are ways that you can request further information or say that this isn't what you want and have them redo it.
That's one concern. The other is, they estimate 3 months elapsed time subsequent to Board of Supervisors' approval of the contract. And going beyond that point then would be, I guess, a basis for potential termination.
Right. If they don't meet the terms of the contract as we set, they can be grounds for termination of the contract.
Okay. One of my concerns here is the problems we had with the last contract we had. And if there's a problem with the way this is going, I don't want us to allow this to grind on and on and on, but, you know, be able to knock it off. So one of my big concerns, obviously, is travel costs, because that could run this contract up quite a bit. They mentioned the other reporting is that they will develop 2012 work programs and then discuss, I guess that's going to be reported in writing to the audit committee. Is that your assumption?
Yes, that would be my assumption, that they would basically they're working for you folks. So all the work, you need to accept it and approve the work before they can go forward. I mean, that's basically all we're going to do as staff is provide them with the information they request to do their work. They've provided me with a big list of, a document request, and we'll give them all the information. They'll do the work, and then they'll report it to you, and then you folks will either approve it, disapprove it. They're basically working for you guys.
Okay. And at this point, based on the contract, there are no specific designated persons to be put on this project?
On Moss Adams' side, you mean?
Right.
I talked with Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. There they are.
Yeah,
Tom.
Yeah.
Tom will be on.
Mark and Colleen.
That's yeah. Doing this on the fly is difficult.
Yeah, and talking with Tom, he did state that, you know, at least for the risk assessment part, they would take that very seriously, and it's really important that they take a look at that closely. And he's there to work with us. I mean, I kind of questioned when I talked with him, a third of our budget is just going to risk assessment. And, you know, I would like to see at the end of the year some real results. That we can, you know, that we can go to the board and just say, you know, we brought this firm in, and at the end it's like, wow, this is what's happened, and this is what we can see, and this is a result of it. And if we spend a lot of time on the risk assessment, I don't know if there's going to be enough.
$1,000 per the budget, and the first task is going to be to prepare the risk assessment based on Moss Adams's, you know, project scope that they have attached. Once that is finished, and then, you know, they have tasks that they propose to do, then we'll bring them to you, and you can approve the task, and then we'll take that to the board to get the board to approve it, and then they can go ahead and perform that task. I think that's kind of the process that we plan on going
through. Right. It is like an on-call basis contract, and it's all task-based. The first, like Nick said, the first task is the risk assessment, and that's stated clearly in the contract and also in the board action form that it's $35,000 for the risk assessment, and that the remainder of the contract task would be determined later.
And so who then would determine whether the work they performed met reasonable standards?
We would provide that information to the audit committee for them to review their work, correct?
Yeah.
That's what we have planned.
But in essence, they would depend on the contract itself as to whether, it sounds like basically if we approve the project scope, that would be appended to the contract.
Right. It is attached as a part of the contract, the scope of work. The risk assessment is a part of the contract.
Okay. So... Is there any provision in the contract to accept or reject the product, or are we in essence agreeing to accept whatever product they provide?
There are termination clauses, and there are ways that you can request further information or say that this isn't what you want and have them redo it.
That's one concern. The other is... Okay, they estimate 3 months elapsed time subsequent to Board of Supervisors' approval of the contract. And going beyond that point then would be, I guess, a basis for potential termination.
Right. If they don't meet the terms of the contract as we set, they can be grounds for termination of the contract.
Okay. One of my concerns here is the problems we had with the last contract we had. And if there's a problem with the way this is going, I don't want us to allow this to grind on and on and on, but, you know, be able to knock it off. So one of my big concerns, obviously, is travel costs, because that could run this contract up quite a bit. They mentioned the other reporting is that they will develop 2012 work programs and then discuss, I guess that's going to be reported in writing to the audit committee. Is that your assumption?
Yes, that would be my assumption that they would basically they're working for you folks. So all the work, I mean, you need to accept it and approve the work before they can go forward. I mean, that's basically, all we're going to do as staff is provide them with the information they request to do their work. They've provided me with a big list of, a document request, and we'll give them all the information. They'll do the work, and then they'll report it to you, and then you folks will either approve it, disapprove it, you know. I mean,
okay.
They're basically working for you guys.
Okay, and at this point, based on the contract, there are no specific designated persons to be put on this project.
On Moss Adams's side, you mean?
Right.
I talked with Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. There they are.
Yeah,
Tom will be on.
Mark and Colleen.
That's doing this on the fly is difficult.
Yeah, and talking with Tom, he did state that, you know, at least for the risk assessment part, they would take that very seriously. It's really important that they take a look at that closely. And he's there to work with us. I mean, I kind of questioned when I talked with him, a third of our budget is just going to risk assessment. And you know, I would like to see at the end of the year some real results that we can, you know, that we can go to the board and just say, you know, we brought this firm in, and at the end it's like, wow, this is what's happened, and this is what we can see, and this is a result of it. And if we spend a lot of time on the risk assessment, I don't know if there's going to be enough time. It was my concern. That's why I was looking at the hours. He seemed to think that that wouldn't be a problem. Just in the risk assessment, they would be pointing out to where the areas are they can take a look at, and it'd be much easier. So that was how my conversation with Tom went. I just wanted to bring it up with the rest of you to see if you all felt comfortable with the fact that we're going to have about half the hours that we originally, you know, agreed upon.
I don't find any problem with the hours. I do not understand, though, as Mr. Brown points out, if there are travel costs, and it brings it past the $35,000 by much, we don't seem to have much control of it. And I'm wondering if there's any way to have an evaluation point when the total costs, including travel, reach $35,000.
Kim, when we presented this to them in the contracts, is it presented to them that the total contract is $110,000, or is it $110,000 plus travel costs? How does that?
The total budget amount was listed as $110,000.
Okay, so they know that if there's a lot of travel costs, they're just going to have to cut back on some of their time, or what they're charging us is what's going to happen, I would assume.
Right, and that $110,000 is up through June 30th. So on July 1st, basically what will happen, that's the new budget year. So we'll be budgeting another $110,000 from July 1st to June 30th, July 1st of 12 to June 30th of 13. So really they're not going to spend $110,000 this fiscal year because it goes through June 30th. So I imagine it'll take these folks 3 months starting in February. You're looking at, they probably won't even start anything probably till the summer. I mean, they might start something in June. An actual project. So, you're going to get, most of the risk assessment will come out of this year's dollars, and then the actual tasks will probably start in next year. So you're probably, depending on, it's just hard to speculate on the scope of the tasks and how long it's going to take them and how many tasks they can do for $110,000. I imagine they could probably do 4 or 5 tasks, I imagine, depending on the scope of the task.
I think, of course, not being a member of the Board of Supervisors, but I would think if we went to the board and said, come June, our contractor has done a risk assessment, and we now propose, one, two, three, four audits be performed during this coming fiscal period, I think that would be pretty good progress. Again, I would really like to have them come in with a reasonable estimate on travel costs. If they're going to be here, on a per diem basis, you can easily be looking at a couple of $100 a day and much less airfare. That's going to run up into the thousands of dollars potentially. And I think we need to have some idea before we just go ahead and say, go to it.
I guess I could call Tom up, but I guess we could probably take a look. I would think just seeing engagements of this nature, probably 10%, of the total. So you just figure that probably 10% of the dollar amount you can just set aside. So we really don't have $110,000 we're working with as far as, labor hours. It's more like $100,000. But I can check with Tom and find out.
When I spoke with Tom about the staff hours and what he proposed to do with his staffing is he would use joint meetings where he has work in Sacramento. He would travel to Sacramento and he would split the costs for travel between the two areas, and he would try to incorporate the work that he's working on in Sacramento here so it would be a less of a travel cost.
See, that's why I was taking a look at the hours and concerned about the hours, because we're saying we're really now down to a whole lot fewer hours than we originally looked at, and that just kind of cuts into it. If the product comes out at the end okay, well, it's not a big concern. But, it's just going to be how much they're going to be charging us for hours, what it's going to all come down to.
My concern is the opposite, in that we've talked about this and talked about this, and nothing's happened. And I think it's time let's buy into the fact that these people are professionals. The risk assessment is probably the most important thing they will do.
It was my concern. That's why I was looking at the hours. He seemed to think that that wouldn't be a problem. Just in the risk assessment, they would be pointing out to where the areas are they can take a look at, and it'd be much easier. So that was how my conversation with Tom went. I just wanted to bring it up with the rest of you to see if you all felt comfortable with the fact that we're going to have about half the hours that we originally, you know, agreed upon.
I don't find any problem with the hours. I do not understand, though, as Mr. Brown points out, if there are travel costs, and it brings it past the $35,000 by much, we don't seem to have much control of it. And I'm wondering if there's any way to have an evaluation point when the total costs, including travel, reach $35,000.
Kim, when we presented this to them in the contracts, is it presented to them that the total contract is $110,000, or is it $110,000 plus travel costs? How does that?
The total budget amount was listed as $110,000.
Okay, so they know that if there's a lot of travel costs, they're just going to have to cut back on some of their time, or what they're charging us is what's going to happen, I would assume.
Right, and that $110,000 is up through June 30th. So on July 1st, basically what will happen, that's the new budget year. So we'll be budgeting another $110,000 from July 1st to June 30th, July 1st of 12 to June 30th of 13. So really they're not going to spend $110,000 this fiscal year because it goes through June 30th. So I imagine it'll take these folks 3 months starting in February. You're looking at, they probably won't even start anything probably till the summer. They might start something in June. An actual project. So, you're going to get, most of the risk assessment will come out of this year's dollars, and then the actual tasks will probably start in next year. So you're probably, depending on, it's just hard to speculate on the scope of the tasks and how long it's going to take them and how many tasks they can do for $110,000. I imagine they could probably do 4 or 5 tasks, I imagine, depending on the scope of the task.
I think, of course, not being a member of the Board of Supervisors, but I would think if we went to the board and said, come June, our contractor has done a risk assessment, and we now propose, one, two, three, four audits be performed during this coming fiscal period, I think that would be pretty good progress. Again, I would really like to have them come in with a reasonable estimate on travel costs. If they're going to be here, on a per diem basis, you can easily be looking at a couple of $100 a day and much less airfare. That's going to run up into the thousands of dollars potentially. And I think we need to have some idea before we just go ahead and say, go to it.
I guess I could call Tom up, but I guess we could probably take a look. I would think just seeing engagements of this nature, probably 10%, of the total. So you just figure that probably 10% of the dollar amount you can just set aside. So we really don't have $110,000 we're working with as far as, labor hours. It's more like $100,000. But I can check with Tom and find out.
When I spoke with Tom about the staff hours and what he proposed to do with his staffing is he would use joint meetings where he has work in Sacramento. He would travel to Sacramento and he would split the costs for travel between the two areas, and he would try to incorporate the work that he's working on in Sacramento here so it would be a less of a travel cost.
See, that's why I was taking a look at the hours and concerned about the hours, because we're saying we're really now down to a whole lot fewer hours than we originally looked at, and that just kind of cuts into it. If the product comes out at the end okay, well, it's not a big concern. But, it's just going to be how much they're going to be charging us for hours, what it's going to all come down to.
My concern is the opposite, in that we've talked about this and talked about this, and nothing's happened. And I think it's time let's buy into the fact that these people are professionals. The risk assessment is probably the most important thing they will do. If it takes the entire budget to do an adequate risk assessment, including travel, then that's fine with me, and we'll figure out how to deal with the risk assessment in the future. Conversely, they could come out that there is no risk and that there's plenty of money left over. We don't know. We hire these people because of their professional qualifications. I think we have to get out of their way and let them do the job that we at least have to let them try to do the job. And we can sit here and discuss whether or not they'll find something or won't find something, or we'll have money left over or we won't have money left over. But until we actually get somebody in here looking at Carson City, starting this internal audit, we haven't done a thing. And I'm thinking it's time we need to do a thing. So I'm ready to make a motion whenever you're ready for it. And the other thing is, I'd like to point out, there are people watching this on TV, and Tom, who's been referred to many times, is Tom Kripahaney of Moss Adams. He's the project partner. So when we say that we've talked to Tom, we've talked to Moss Adams, an accounting firm, who is going to do the internal audit.
Okay, so is there a motion on the floor, John?
I move to approve in the internal risk assessment project scope.
Okay, the public comment?
I told
you
second or
it
dies.
Well, yeah, we're waiting.
Okay. I'll second it.
I guess we. Okay. So with that, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Public comment.
Or do we have to? Well, shouldn't we do public comment actually before we take the motion? Or.
Well, you should always do public comment.
Okay. Then.
Once a motion is under Robert's rule of order, once a motion is made and seconded,
then you can have public comment.
Then you can discuss it. Okay, and the board can discuss it, the public can discuss it.
We don't have to go right to a vote. Okay, great. Okay, at this time, is there any public comment? Seeing that there's no public comment, is there any further discussion?
I actually had one additional point I wanted to ask if it would be appropriate, is that within the contract, we identify someone on the audit committee to function as the audit committee's representative, if you will, during the period of the contract when the audit committee is not in session.
I don't think I would like that, simply because that makes one of us different than the others, and generally try to do everything in public. So if we need to talk to the auditor, we can call them on the phone and have a conference call, or Nick can be our can bring information to us. But, you know, I might talk to the guy and say, I really like your internal risk assessment scope, but I don't want you to look at the city manager's office. Or another person might say, I don't want you looking at the fire department or something like that. Getting it away from the committee as a whole, and it's a different way of working, let me tell you. But it brings everything out in front of the camera. And if we don't like the fact that they're using green work papers, we can talk to them about it. But I don't want them to be biased by the fact I don't like green work papers when the rest of you don't care what color the work papers are.
That's my opinion.
Oh, of course. And it's valid, yeah. My concern is, again, that we don't hold up the process. If questions come up during the between audit committee meetings, rather than have the contractor then halt action pending resolution of a question, perhaps we can ask that they then discuss it with the finance director, and that he notify the committee, and that we have potentially a special meeting. As an alternative.
I don't have a problem with that. If Nick's okay with it, I don't know how you want to handle this whole thing, you know, managing the engagement versus supervising the engagement, I guess.
Well, yeah, actually, I was just planning on providing the information, you know, to the folks at Moss Adams. I mean, I really wasn't planning on doing any, I mean, they don't work for me, so I'm just basically going to provide them the information that they want, and I'm not going to, you know, sway them one way or the other. I mean, I'll set up all the, you know, all the interviews and, you know, provide them.
It's the entire budget to do an adequate risk assessment, including travel, then that's fine with me, and we'll figure out how to deal with the risk assessment in the future. Conversely, they could come out that there is no risk and that there's plenty of money left over. We don't know. We hire these people because of their professional qualifications. I think we have to get out of their way and let them do the job that we at least have to let them try to do the job. And we can sit here and discuss whether or not they'll find something or won't find something, or we'll have money left over or we won't have money left over. But until we actually get somebody in here looking at Carson City, starting this internal audit, we haven't done a thing. And I'm thinking it's time we need to do a thing. So I'm ready to make a motion whenever you're ready for it. And the other thing is, I'd like to point out, there are people watching this on TV, and Tom, who's been referred to many times, is Tom Kripahaney of Moss Adams. He's the project partner. So when we say that we've talked to Tom, we've talked to Moss Adams, an accounting firm, who is going to do the internal audit.
Okay, so is there a motion on the floor, John?
I move to approve in the internal risk assessment project scope.
Okay, the public comment?
I told you second or it dies.
Well, yeah, we're waiting.
Okay. I'll second it.
I guess we. Okay. So with that, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Public comment.
Aye. Or do we have to? Well, shouldn't we do public comment actually before we take the motion? Or.
Well, you should always do public comment.
Okay. Then.
Once a motion is under Robert's rule of order, once a motion is made and seconded,
then you can have public comment.
Then you can discuss it. Okay, and the board can discuss it, the public can discuss it.
We don't have to go right to a vote. Okay, great. Okay, at this time, is there any public comment? Seeing that there's no public comment, is there any further discussion?
I actually had one additional point I wanted to ask if it would be appropriate, is that within the contract, we identify someone on the audit committee to function as the audit committee's representative, if you will, during the period of the contract when the audit committee is not in session.
I don't think I would like that, simply because that makes one of us different than the others, and generally try to do everything in public. So if we need to talk to the auditor, we can call them on the phone and have a conference call, or Nick can be our can bring information to us. But, you know, I might talk to the guy and say, I really like your internal risk assessment scope, but I don't want you to look at the city manager's office. Or another person might say, I don't want you looking at the fire department or something like that. Getting it away from the committee as a whole, and it's a different way of working, let me tell you. But it brings everything out in front of the camera. And if we don't like the fact that they're using green work papers, we can talk to them about it. But I don't want them to be biased by the fact I don't like green work papers when the rest of you don't care what color the work papers are.
That's my opinion.
Oh, of course. And it's valid, yeah. My concern is, again, that we don't hold up the process. If questions come up during the between audit committee meetings, rather than have the contractor then halt action pending resolution of a question, perhaps we can ask that they then discuss it with the finance director, and that he notify the committee, and that we have potentially a special meeting. As an alternative.
I don't have a problem with that. If Nick's okay with it, I don't know how you want to handle this whole thing, you know, managing the engagement versus supervising the engagement, I guess.
Well, yeah, I, actually, I was just planning on providing the information, you know, to the folks at Moss Adams. I mean, I really wasn't planning on doing any, I mean, they don't work for me, so I'm just basically going to provide them the information that they want, and I'm not going to, you know, sway them one way or the other. I mean, I'll set up all the, you know, all the interviews and, you know, provide them all the documents that we can, and that was basically what I was planning on doing. I can't imagine that there would be any, if there'd be any issues, I mean, I imagine they'll just keep going, and then if there's issues, they'll segregate the issues and bring them back to you and say, well, you know, we have issues here. You know, these folks didn't want to talk to us, or we didn't believe them, so maybe we should audit them. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it. I mean.
No, and that is kind of where I'm going, but there's usually issues on internal audits of one kind or another.
Right.
And it just needs someone that you can pass on the issues rather than have it stop or put them aside and try to do other stuff. And my thought was, you know, having the committee designate the chairman as that contact and then just leave it at that, and then the chairman can call a special meeting or not. He does not necessarily have to come to a conclusion, but to keep the process moving.
Well, I've, you know, again, I've spoke to the city manager, you know, about this process, and I've kind of showed him what the internal auditors are expecting, and you have full buy-in from the city manager. So, you know, the only issue that you might have is with an elected official, I mean, on our side, because basically the city manager is going to, I mean, if somebody's reluctant to do an interview with the internal auditor, then, I mean, they don't have a choice. I mean, you know, the city manager is going to require them, to, you know, to provide, I mean, he's told me to provide the documents that they're asking for. I mean, you know, elected officials, we really don't have any control over. We can't order them to talk to these folks, but, I mean, I don't foresee a problem with any of the elected officials.
So
I know for a fact, you know, the appointed officials and the officials that work for Larry Werner, the city manager, will have complete cooperation, and you know, we'll.
Okay, but at this point, there is not a designated point of contact, or is it misspelled?
Well, it'll be probably her and I, just basically getting the information together to provide to them. I think that's the main, you know, task at hand that we have right now, is just providing all the documents that he's requested, setting up the interviews, and just kind of going from there. That's kind of where we're at this point.
But theoretically, we are, if you will, managing the contract.
That's right? Correct.
And there at this point, there is no way officially for Moss Adams to contact the audit committee.
Randy Munn, for the record. I mean, this is a contract with the city, and the contractor, you oversee the appointment and quasi-supervision of the contract. However, you are a public body. Certainly, they could call any one of you and ask you questions and get a feel for whatever information they want to get from you. What you can't do is deliberate together to tell them what it is they want to do unless you have a meeting. So in that process, if they call, let's say, the chairman, they have an issue, the chairman would have to essentially say, well, I think maybe you could do X. If it's a concern and you feel it's a concern that the entire body should be chiming in on, then it certainly should be agendized before you deliberate horizontally amongst yourselves. So it's not like they can't get answers to their questions from the committee. You just can't deliberate unless you put it on an agenda and come and meet and talk about it.
And they may have to call five people to get an answer they can depend upon, and they still can't depend upon that answer. Because if we appoint one person to be the contact person, we in effect create a subcommittee. And that subcommittee, I think, would have to be agendized to have any public discussion on this thing. And that's just part of the way this works, is having public bodies, is if you make one member a super or two members a subcommittee, then they're subject to the open meeting law, and all of the agendized, all the requirements to have a properly agendized meeting of that subcommittee. So it's either, to me, my way of thinking is either the five of us or none of us. And it's just the way Nevada law is.
Does that make sense to you? Mr. Moon?
I think that's an accurate way to describe the law. It's not the most efficient way to do business, but that's what the legislature decided we will do.
So in effect, any questions that the contractor may have would refer them to the city staff, who would in turn let the chairman know that we need
documents that we can, and that was basically what I was planning on doing. I can't imagine that there would be any, if there'd be any issues, I mean, I imagine they'll just keep going, and then if there's issues, they'll segregate the issues and bring them back to you and say, well, you know, we have issues here. You know, these folks didn't want to talk to us, or we didn't believe them, so maybe we should audit them. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it. I mean.
No, and that is kind of where I'm going, but there's usually issues on internal right. audits of one kind or another.
Right.
And it just needs someone that you can pass on the issues rather than have it stop or put them aside and try to do other stuff. And my thought was, you know, having the committee designate the chairman as that contact and then just leave it at that, and then the chairman can call a special meeting or not. He does not necessarily have to come to a conclusion, but to keep the process moving.
Well, I've spoke to the city manager, you know, about this process, and I've kind of showed him what the internal auditors are expecting, and you have full buy-in from the city manager. So, you know, the only issue that you might have is with an elected official, I mean, on our side, because basically the city manager is going to, I mean, if somebody's reluctant to do an interview with the internal auditor, then, I mean, they don't have a choice. I mean, the city manager is going to require them, to provide, I mean, he's told me to provide the documents that they're asking for. I mean, you know, elected officials, we really don't have any control over. We can't order them to talk to these folks, but I mean, I don't foresee a problem with any of the elected officials.
So
I know for a fact, you know, the appointed officials and the officials that work for Larry Werner, the city manager, will have complete cooperation, and you know, we'll.
Okay, but at this point, there is not a designated point of contact, or is it misspelled?
Well, it'll be probably her and I. Just basically getting the information together to provide to them. I think that's the main, you know, task at hand that we have right now, is just providing all the documents that he's requested, setting up the interviews, and just kind of going from there. That's kind of where we're at this point.
But theoretically, we are, if you will, managing the contract.
That's right? Correct.
And there at this point, there is no way officially for Moss Adams to contact the audit committee.
Randy Munn, for the record. I mean, this is a contract with the city, and the contractor, you oversee the appointment and quasi-supervision of the contract. However, you are a public body. Certainly, they could call any one of you and ask you questions and get a feel for whatever information they want to get from you. What you can't do is deliberate together to tell them what it is they want to do unless you have a meeting. So in that process, if they call, let's say, the chairman, they have an issue, the chairman would have to essentially say, well, I think maybe you could do X. If it's a concern and you feel it's a concern that the entire body should be chiming in on, then it certainly should be agendized before you deliberate horizontally amongst yourselves. So it's not like they can't get answers to their questions from the committee. You just can't deliberate unless you put it on an agenda and come and meet and talk about it.
And they may have to call five people to get an answer they can depend upon, and they still can't depend upon that answer. Because if we appoint one person to be the contact person, we in effect create a subcommittee. And that subcommittee, I think, would have to be agendized to have any public discussion on this thing. And that's just part of the way this works, is having public bodies, is if you make one member a super or two members a subcommittee, then they're subject to the open meeting law and all of the agendized, all the requirements to have a properly agendized meeting of that subcommittee. So it's either, to me, my way of thinking is either the five of us or none of us. And it's just the way Nevada law is.
Does that make sense to you, Mr. Munn?
I think that's an accurate way to describe the law. It's not the most efficient way to do business, but that's what the legislature decided we will do.
So in effect, any questions that the contractor may have would refer them to the city staff, who would in turn let the chairman know that we need a special meeting to address the questions.
Well, they could call any one of you, and you could say, well, we really need to meet and have a meeting and talk about that issue, and call the chairman and call the city and say, you know, we need to set up a special meeting because there's an issue. But certainly it's appropriate for them to call staff and ask for basic questions that are not specific to whatever they're auditing, and get assistance from staff to, you know, whether we need to have a public meeting to get an answer on this question. So, yes, we can field those questions. And as contract monitors, you know, that's basically, you know, will be the role.
Okay.
On all the contracts, it has contract administrator, and I'm designated as contract administrator on all contracts.
One last comment. It may seem unwieldy, but things like if Kim gets a question from these people about how to proceed, and she were to email it out to each of us, as long as we don't discuss it among ourselves, each of us could call the auditor and tell them what we wanted the auditor to know. If the auditor chooses not to rely upon what I say, but chooses to rely upon what another member says, or takes a poll of, uses the information provided by members to proceed, that problem becomes the auditor's problem, not ours. And it's just, it's one of those pushing the string type things. It's just the way the thing works. So I don't have a problem with, if there's a question that the auditor has, put it out to all five of us, and those of us that wish to respond can. It's just, that's kind of the way things work everywhere in Nevada government.
That would somewhat address my concern here, is that we keep things moving. Would that be adequate, Mr. District Attorney?
Well, I mean, only you can say whether it's adequate. I mean,
we
have to follow the law. And, I mean, I think we've expressed what the law requires. That if you guys are going to deliberate about a question, we got to call a meeting and talk about it in public.
I agree with John. I think it's time to give them the ball and let them run with it, see what comes up. I mean, this isn't their first rodeo, so that they can they have the experience, I think, that they'll know how to address certain issues that are a problem. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think the question as far as direction, they're professionals, and we all have other jobs and other things to do. We just want to get somebody in here that can do it and just kind of give the minimal amount of direction. The things that I was bringing up as far as the timing and also, too, the size of the risk assessment, I just wanted to bring that up for discussion so that we as a body can determine if we have any concerns or questions about that. But I guess, I mean, I'm assuming right now the motion that's on the floor and it's been seconded is to proceed court with the internal audit risk assessment and the plan that they provided. Is that correct?
That's right. I don't know about proceed, but it's a move to approve the internal risk assessment project scope. Okay. Whether they proceed or not, I guess, is based upon the contract and whether the supervisors approve the contract and that sort of thing.
Okay. All right, then at this point, then, the vote, we'll take a vote, and the motion, I guess, would be phrased. Correct me, John, if I don't get it right, that we go ahead and we proceed with.
Is the action called calling for the question? Is that what we have to do?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Basically, what we're going to vote on is we approve that project scope.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Okay. All right, with that, we move on to item number 8, to schedule the next meeting of the Carson City Audit Committee. I think it's important that we get together monthly So that what has happened in the past where we didn't follow up with the external auditors and we waited a few months, that everything kind of got lost. If it's okay with everybody else, I think maybe the second Tuesday of each month, maybe we should be a regular meeting if that's okay, and we make the next meeting February the 14th. Do I need a motion for that, or to set the? Okay. All right. Call for a motion for
a meeting to address the questions.
Well, yeah, they could call any one of you, and you could say, "Well, we really need to meet and have a meeting and talk about that issue," and call the chairman and call the city and say, "You know, we need to set up a special meeting because there's an issue." But certainly it's appropriate for them to call staff and ask for basic questions that are not specific to whatever they're auditing and get assistance from staff to, you know, whether we need to have a public meeting to get an answer on this question. So, yes, we can field those questions. And as contract monitors, you know, that's basically, you know, will be the role.
Okay.
Excuse me. On all the contracts, it has contract administrator, and I'm designated as contract administrator on all contracts.
One last comment. It may seem unwieldy, but things like if Kim gets a question from these people about how to proceed, and she were to email it out to each of us, as long as we don't discuss it among ourselves, each of us could call the auditor and tell them what we wanted the auditor to know. If the auditor chooses not to rely upon what I say but chooses to rely upon what another member says or takes a poll of, uses the information provided by members to proceed, that problem becomes the auditor's problem, not ours. And it's just, it's one of those pushing the string type things. It's just the way the thing works. So I don't have a problem with if there's question that the auditor has, put it out to all five of us, and those of us that wish to respond can. That's kind of the way things work everywhere in Nevada government.
That would somewhat address my concern here, is that we keep things moving. Would that be adequate, Mr. District Attorney?
Well, I mean, only you can say whether it's adequate. I mean,
we
have to follow the law. And, I mean, I think we've expressed what the law requires. That if you guys are going to deliberate about a question, we got to call a meeting and talk about it in public.
I agree with John. I think it's time to give them the ball and let them run with it and see what comes up. I mean, this isn't their first rodeo, so that they can they have the experience, I think, that they'll know how to address certain issues that are a problem. Thank you.
Yeah, and I think the question as far as direction, they're professionals, and we all have other jobs and other things to do. We just want to get somebody in here that can do it and just kind of give the minimal amount of direction. The things that I was bringing up as far as the timing and also, too, the size of the risk assessment, I just wanted to bring that up for discussion so that we as a body can determine if we have any concerns or questions about that. But I guess, I mean, I'm assuming right now the motion that's on the floor and it's been seconded is to proceed court with the internal audit risk assessment and the plan that they provided. Is that correct?
I don't know about proceed, but it's a move to approve the internal risk assessment project scope. Okay. Whether they proceed or not, I guess, is based upon the contract and whether the supervisors approve the contract and that sort of thing.
All right, then at this point, then, the vote, we'll take a vote, and the motion, I guess, would be phrased, correct me, John, if I don't get it right, that we go ahead and we proceed with,
is the action called calling for the question? Is that what we have to do?
Yeah, that's what we're doing.
Basically, what we're going to vote on is we approve that project scope.
Okay. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Okay. All right. With that, we move on to item number 8, to schedule the next meeting of the Carson City Audit Committee. I think it's important that we get together monthly so that what has happened in the past where we didn't follow up with the external auditors and we waited a few months that everything kind of got lost. If it's okay with everybody else, I think maybe the second Tuesday of each month, maybe we should be a regular meeting if that's okay, and we make the next meeting February the 14th. Do I need a motion for that, or to set the? Okay. All right. Call for a motion for February 14th as being the next meeting.
Also move.
I'll second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, motion carries. The next meeting will be February the 14th. Okay. At this time, public is invited at this time to come in on any matter that is not specifically included in the agenda as an action item. No action may be taken on a matter raised under this item of the agenda. Public? Okay, nothing being heard there. Is there a motion to adjourn at this time?
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Dies for lack of
second. Okay, dies for lack of second. Wait on. John will second it. Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we are adjourned.